Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Since 2019, we've been welcoming guests onto Cultaholic Island. Guests who have been choosing three of their favourite wrestling matches. Now it is time for a return trip. I'm Tom Campbell, and this is Desert Island Graps Revisited.
NWA Power is back! And I proved once and for all that I'm not just an animal in the weight room. I'm not just an animal in the bedroom. What? Now I've proved that I'm an animal in the boardroom. What? Because Fight TV broke out the big check, brother. And they secured NWA Power, and now we are here. And we are going to deliver, just like we do every single time for you in all of your homes around the world. And tonight, yes, you asked me about Trevor Murdoch. I will go on record and say I don't condone that type of behavior. You know me. Okay? What is the name of our group? Strictly Business. Okay? If there's no business to be done, we can't concern ourselves with that. What we have to concern ourselves with is victories, because I had to leave my broom in the back because I had a prop, because I was going to come out here and brag about the big clean sweep that Strictly Business had, because I wanted that man to be standing here with the World Television Championship. And let's face it, it's only a matter of time before you're looking at the World Women's Champion, and then everything will be right in the universe. Strictly Business will be on top, and the NWA will be back right where it needs to be. Into the fire! Into the fire! Into the fire! I'm falling! Into the fire!
We welcome back to Cultaholic Island, one of the first guests on Desert Island Graps back in 2019. And in all the things in the world that has changed since 2019, the world caught fire for a long time. Wrestling promotions have come, gone, changed time, whatever. The one constant, the divine constant in all of this is he is still your NWA World Heavyweight Champion. It's Nick Aldis. How are you, Nick?
I'm good, Tom. Yeah, thank you. I mean, it's a point of contention. You have to be, you know, I find that I have to let other people talk about the length of the reign, because obviously if I mention it right away, I get jumped from, oh, you only defended the title a few times. Oh, COVID doesn't really count. Oh, all right.
Still counts.
Of course it does.
You know.
Forget about the four continents of defending the title on, and the, you know, 40 different states have defended the title, you know, like before COVID.
Does it bug you that people, because it was a quick reaction there. Does it bug you a little bit that people go, well, it doesn't count the last year?
Well, it not only in the sense that, because the length of the reign is so unusual for the modern era, obviously it's a talking point for a lot of people, and they go, wow, you know, like this. You know, it was over 900 days. Like, you know, when was the last time somebody, you know, which then of course opens up. And I'm sitting there going, I didn't bring any of this up. You know, it's hard enough in the wrestling business, with it obviously being such a opinion based industry and so polarizing on every level. And, you know, it's, you have to have a thick skin at the best of times, but it's like, there are times where you just go, God, just give me a break. Like, I didn't ask for any of this. Like, I'm just trying to be a good pro wrestler.
I'm just trying to do what I do. That's all I'm trying to do.
I'm sorry, Johnny Digital 619. Like, I really am, you know, I'm so sorry you feel that way, you know, but like, go outside.
Fair point. You know what I mean? Fair point, well made.
I'm like, you seem upset. I don't know what to say.
it's back on Fight Now, NWA Power. Describe that feeling after all that went on in the world in 2020, walking back into GPB Studios in Atlanta.
Oh, mate, it was very, very special, very rewarding. I think, you know, getting there, driving to Atlanta this time and because I live in Nashville, so it's a drive for me, and I drive down, and it's quite nice because I get to sort of just go on my own time, my own schedule, and sort of get there when I feel like getting there nice and early, and sort of getting used to everything. And it was very cool because there were times, even though obviously it had been a long time, it also felt very familiar, going back in. And The one thing about GPB Studios is that I know that the show gets often, it's sort of categorized, and I guess rightly so, as this sort of throwback, nostalgic kind of marketing and kind of vibe and everything. And obviously we go for that, like it's a deliberate thing. But, you know, that building and those studios, it's a really phenomenal television studio. I mean, it's, you know, they film all kinds of great shows there, so it's really slick professional operation, and the people there are just so great, such pros, you know. So to be able to come back, and the guys there at GPB, they really like our show. Like, they sort of know that it's not a very big show in comparison to some of the stuff they do, you know. It's not on like network television or anything like that, but there's something, they're all just like, man, you guys are so like, yeah, it's so great to have you guys back, and like, we love this show, and it's so fun, and like, you guys are all so like full of energy, and you know, so easy to work with and stuff like that. And I think that's a gratifying thing too, that for once, as you know, especially coming up in the British, you know, independent wrestling scene, there were so many times where you felt like a second class citizen when it came to dealing with building owners or managers, and you know, the sort of ancillary personnel that you have to deal with in the wrestling business, because they always sort of look down their nose at wrestling, and they have this sort of, oh, wrestling, like, oh, you know, they sort of always treat you like you're, you know, ex-cons or something. And to be received like that, and to have that sort of working relationship where they're just like, oh man, we love this show, like, oh, it's so great to have you guys back, and for the boys to be recognized as being so professional too, is like really easy to work with compared to other television people and stuff like that. Like, that's what I take a lot of pride in, because even though it's not my show, you know, per se, it's like, I take a lot of pride in the culture that's been sort of created in the dressing room and it with the, you know, with the talent. Like, that's, if you know, if it was a football team, I'd be the team captain, do you know what I mean? So it's like, so it's cool to see that all these people receive the wrestlers like so well, and with, you know, with such affection, because that speaks a lot to sort of how we conduct ourselves and you know, the kind of vibe that we give out when we're working, because it's so fun, but everyone there is total pro too. Like, there's very few sort of divas drops. There's very few sort of, big kind of dramatic moments backstage. It's, you know, everyone's kind of on the same page. And if a segment goes really well, like a promo goes really well, like everybody's like, fuck yeah, like, you nailed that, you know what I mean? Like, good shit, that's money, man. Like, you know, everyone comes back and goes, yeah, that's great. Like, let's do this. And it's, and you know, that the people around it get sort of swept up in it too. So that's what I was, you know, that was the best feeling I took away from the whole experience.
What have been some of the challenges getting back into the rigors of putting together NWA Power in this sort of new normal? What are some of the challenges that you guys have faced?
Well, the worst, the hardest thing is the COVID protocols, you know, just the sort of, you know, obviously masks have sort of become almost, you know, second nature, but it is, you know, there, it was like, that was probably the hardest thing about the tapings this last time, was that the building, you know, as great as they are, and as you know, good as our relationship is, the one thing they were very, very adamant on was like, we really want everyone to mask up when they're not working. So like the second that you come back through the curtain, you know, please remember to try to mask up as much as possible. And obviously over the course of a day where you're starting at sort of 10 a.m. and in my case anyway, getting there at like 10 a.m. and not leaving till sort of midnight, you know, there are a few times where you're just going, I'm just going to go find a private room by myself so I can just take this fucking mask off for half an hour, you know, and not be in any trouble. Mm. But, you know, that's just the sort of, it's, you know, that's a first world problem. It's not like, you know, it's not like it's in the world. And I guess the other thing too is just trying to keep the energy of the show up with, you know, a couple of dozen people sort of taking on the role of audience who are kind of extras and, you know, ancillary sort of talent or ancillary help. And, you know, I mean, those guys, I mean, they're, you know, the our sort of audience, so to speak, or the people, you know, playing the role of standard audience at GPV this time, I mean, those guys deserve a medal, because they were made up mostly of trainee wrestlers who would come to, you know, to help with the ring or to be on standby or to, you know, to maybe be in a small sort of enhancement match or something. And some of the guys who do the post-show podcast, you know, who we'd sort of invited down to come and be, you know, just basically just come and be around and be available. Because, you know, as a lot of people will tell you, the wrestling business is built on the back of stooges and help, you know, people who are just there to sort of help out with whatever. Is there a lifeblood of the industry? And in this case, like those guys, I mean, several of the boys went out of their way to go and find them and kind of keep them going, you know, over the course of the day. Like, hey, you guys are like doing such a great job. Thank you guys so much. Like, it's brutal to try to work a 20-minute, 30-minute match, you know, with no noise whatsoever. And it's amazing what a difference just, you know, a couple of dozen people sort of reacting can do. It's just enough to sort of keep you going. And, you know, certainly with the pay-per-view, with like my match with Stevens and stuff like that, that was, you know, I've done some empty building stuff, you know, in COVID. I did some stuff before COVID, empty building, but you know, it was, but you know,
we've all been there.
It was like, it was, you know, and it's brutal. It's tough. So, you know, that those guys really went above and beyond, but hey, you know, those guys all now in the minds of everybody there and everyone involved with the NWA now have a sort of a special place in our hearts. So it will serve them well, you know, in their future careers.
We'll chat more about NWA Power as we go along, but we've got you here today, sir, to return to the island to watch one of the matches that you chose to watch while stranded on said desert island back in 2019. And we have we've picked a classic. We are going to be watching you and I, the WCW Chi-Town Rumble match between Ric Flair and Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. It seemed appropriate, Nick, you know, a match for the NWA World's Heavyweight Championship with Ric Flair, former NWA World's Heavyweight Champion, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, former NWA World's Heavyweight Champion, and yourself, Oblivion from Gladiators. It seems appropriate with the champ himself.
You show up late, and now you start throwing in, and now you're making these jabs. I don't know. You know, for the money you're paying me, Tom, you know, you're on thin ice.
Chuck an extra fiver in. But no, it's great to watch this match with the guy who's representing that company and that brand right now. And
well, look, and hey, you know, you don't have to twist my arm very hard to watch this match. I've probably watched it a couple hundred times at least over my life. So, yeah.
We are going to watch it now, our Nick and I. And if you want to watch it along with us, what you need to do is you need to go to the WWE Network, whatever iteration you've got it on. And you need to find WCW Chi-Town Rumble in 1989, February 20th, 1989. Scrub to 1 hour, 58 minutes and 23 seconds in. I'll give you a second to do that right now. Well,
tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Welcome back. Nick, are we ready to Chi-Town Rumble, sir?
Yes, sir. Let's do it.
Okay, on go. We all press go and play in 3, 2, 1, go. People at a wrestling show. Something we didn't see much of in 2020. It's just... Now, at this point, talk to us a bit, Nick, as Ric Flair is making his way ringside. Talk to us about why this match was one of those three that you chose.
Well, I mean, first off, anyone who's seen any Flair and Steamboat match just knows that there are rare occasions in this industry where two guys just work perfectly together. Where you get the perfect combination of the contrast of characters as well as this incredible physical chemistry. You know, like you see a lot of matches, especially now I see quite a lot where these guys have really great matches together, but you can almost tell that there's no, it's very hard to really believe that there's any animosity there or any competitiveness. But when you watch this, there's not a moment where you sort of think to yourself, these guys planned this. These guys are really friends. These guys like obviously practice this a million times. Like there's always that aura of animosity, you know, and there's an aggression to it. And Flair and Steamboat, I mean, to me, I think that certainly not in the last 50 years, I don't think there is another rivalry that just universally sort of gets that response from anyone who sees it, but they just go, man, like this is special. You know, this is a sort of once in a lifetime thing. I'll say the other reason I love it, I love the presentation. I love that it's, you know, there's enough production value to make you aware that like this is a big deal, right? Like this is big time pro wrestling, but it's not so much that it starts to feel too much like a show and not enough like a sport. Like this, the atmosphere in the building and the details is that it's sort of, there's just a touch of grit to it, you know? There's just a touch of grit and sort of spit and sawdust and cigarette smoke where it just, you just go, this is a fucking man sport, you know, like, and And I don't mean that in like a misogynist way. I just mean it's got this, it's a, this is for adults, you know, this is for grown-ups. And that's what I thought the NWA, or, you know, in contrast to the WWF, was the perfect alternative.
Because you look at WWF at this point, and you have like 89, so it's like height of Hulkamania.
Yeah.
Big brash characters at places like Plaza, and then you've got, as you say, this, which is, and you're right, it's got that sort of cigarette smoke lingering in the air, sort of the lens flare blurring a bit there, little things like that grit about it, and two guys who are just there in their wrestling attire who were there to wrestle, you know?
Right. The reaction and the atmosphere is created solely on the anticipation of this physical contest. It's not like the aura of, you know, of, and again, that's not a knock on the alternative. It's just, it's like the kids say now on social media, it hits different, you know? It has like, when this has like the big fight feel, because look at Tommy Young, for example. Like Tommy Young is so good because he just, a great referee just adds that element of seriousness to it, where it's like a boxing match. Like a lot of the stuff that I've borrowed from in trying to sort of help shape the current NWA, I've borrowed a lot from boxing, in the sense that when you watch like HBO boxing, the big time, you know, the big time sort of fights that they would promote, so many people have traveled, there was pomp and circumstance and there was drama, but by the time you got in the building and by the time you got in the ring, it was like, it's go time, right? Like, this is serious and we follow a certain set of rules and everything, you know, everything is taken seriously. Like, I personally think that that stuff adds to a match. Like, that's one of the reasons why right from the beginning, you know, with my run, I made a point to always say I want referee's instructions for the title match. Like, to remind everybody, like, this is serious. Like, this is the world type, and these are the rules. And, like, you're here because you're the right person to be here. And now let's settle down and get fucking serious.
You spoke to Ross on our channel for Straight to Hell, and you talked very much about how wrestling needs to sort of reach out to non-wrestling fans in 2021. And obviously the NWA has a very old school feel, very much like this. But do you feel like you're still doing enough to welcome that sort of new wrestling fan in to fall in love with what you do?
Well, I mean, I don't think you can ever do enough, you know, but I think that the thing when you watch this match, for example, when you're looking at this, right, if you're just looking at it from a sort of critical standpoint, you might go, oh, well, they're just doing hammerlocks and headlocks, but like, they're doing so much more than that. Like, these guys have not stopped since the bell rang. Like, they're telling a story of like, we're both the best at this and I'm not going to give you an inch and you're not going to give me an inch. I think you can get that in any language. You can get that, you know, no matter what your level of sophistication is as a wrestling fan, like, you can't watch this and not realize I can't do this, right? You can't watch this and go, well, I could probably practice that stuff. You can't do it like that. You know, you're watching two grade A professionals. And the other thing I would say is that if you've never seen wrestling before and this was the first thing you saw, even if you didn't really understand all the nuance of this, as far as like, oh, I don't really get all the rules yet, I don't really know what's he trying to do with his headlock or whatever, you can hear the people and you can feel the, like, how thick the atmosphere is and how invested everybody is, and that just makes you invested. Because you go, man, these people are so into this. Like, this has a different, the same way that, you know, I'm not a boxing aficionado, but when I buy a boxing pay-per-view, I'm watching, I'm just like, I can't take my eyes away from it. But I can't tell you, I can't always necessarily tell you exactly who's winning and who isn't, you know. But I'm just going, God, this is something. You know, there's something primal about fighting. It's why fighting will always draw money. Like, in, well, you know, in one way, shape, or form. Now, yeah, obviously, boxing has its ups and downs, MMA. But combat will always draw attention. And when you combine combat with believable, authentic personalities like Ric Flair and Ricky Steamboat, then you have money. And that's, you know, that's essentially what I'm always trying to achieve. I'm always trying to be as authentic as I can when I'm presenting myself. Like, everyone knows that obviously I don't strut around in real life, kind of, you know, calling people ham sandwiches and being, you know, referring to myself as a national treasure. But it's,
I'd like to think that you do. Walk into HMV, you know, back home and go, all right, yeah, I'm sorry.
HMV. HMV of all places. I was gonna say, you know, I don't get a customer service at Tesco and be like, hey, you know,
ham sandwich. Give me my ham sandwich. And you talk about, like, how important, like, you know, like, you get sucked into the vibe of an atmosphere. And we saw those leathering chops from Flair to Flair. Flair taking that powder and the crowd just heating on him for it as well.
Right.
When you watch this back, is there a nuance from this match that you take, that you've maybe utilized in your own work?
For me, it's... You won't see a single thing in this match that is phoned in, right? Like, not a single headlock, not a single punch, not a single sell, not a single bump, not a single kick in the gut. You know, not a single thing is sort of kind of done haphazardly, just to sort of, because, well, we're getting ready for the next spot, so I don't really care. I'll just kind of do this one, go through the motions. You know, which again is something, unfortunately, you see more of today. And look, we've all been guilty of it. I watch stuff back and I'll cringe sometimes, because I go, oh my God, like, I just, you know, that whip was terrible. Like, you know, I was doing all this other stuff and then I just did a shitty Irish whip. Like, but you won't see a single thing in this match where you sort of went, like, there's not a single thing in this that can take you out at the moment. Look at the concentration on Flair's face. Like, you're watching it and you just, they're getting ready to do a test of strength, right? Greco-Roman knuckle lock, whatever you want to call it. But the body language, like the nonverbal communication, just has you completely compelled.
It's that
beautiful.
That test of strength. If you Google Chi Town Rumble, you will see
that's the shot,
it's that shot where they're reaching to lock it in. And like you say, it's something that's so simple, but just so...
There's a similar shot from me and Cody from our second match in Nashville. There's a very similar shot where we're getting ready to, and it's my favorite shot. And I think it's for the same reason, where it's just, there's this moment where you, like, I think, you know, obviously I would never compare anything I did to anything that, you know, of a Flair and Steamboat level. But I think that one of the reasons why people, even now, you know, 3 years on, still bring up me and Cody is it has elements of the same thing that made this so special, in that it's that there's a genuine competitiveness between the two. There's, like, Cody and I aren't friends, right? Like, we're not friends. Like, we respect each other, but we're not friends. We don't, you know, we had no personal relationship prior to wrestling each other. But we both have very strong sort of opinions of ourselves and visions of who we want to be. And we both have very similar philosophies when it comes to sort of, you know, our work in the ring. So it's like, so everything just fit together. And it was like, we had that understanding with each other of, like, hey, there was a lot of stuff that we did in our matches that was sort of a little bit of a shoot. Like, hey, if you're gonna take this, you're gonna earn it, you know? And, like, I think that you see that in this as, like, a genuine, like, in Flair and Steamboat, they both took such pride in their conditioning and their sort of, hey, no one can follow me. That's why I go on last, because nobody can follow me. And Flair's like, his whole time out there, you can guarantee he's thinking, I want to prove to everyone that no one can follow Ric Flair. You know, and Steamboat's there going, nobody can follow Ricky Steamboat. And now they're wrestling each other and they're both trying to kind of go, hey, yeah, like, I'm going to prove I'm the best in the business by making you look the best you've ever looked. And that's when you get the absolute magic, because they're not going into business for themselves. They're going into business for each other, because they both understand the principle of the business is to make your opponent look as good as you can. So now they're both doing it. And in the process, they're both going, well, hey, I'm going to make sure I look good too. And then you get magic, because you know, there's not a moment of this where you can sort of go, oh, okay, I know what's going to happen now. Like, you don't. It's just a fight. It's just this, like, this unbelievably evenly matched competitive fight. Look at those people, man. Look at the people.
You can't replicate that. You can't fake that. That's just people who, and it's what's nice is, and I like stuff like this, it's random that it ages it, where you've got people with instant cameras.
Yeah.
You're capturing it. Like, no one's holding photos.
I've got chills. Like, I've got goosebumps right now, just because when you get the people like that, like that right now, I guarantee you, in Flair's mind, he's going, we got him. You know what I mean? Like, but see, he knows that he's got him before he even walks out. That's why he has him. You know, you have to carry yourself like that. And that's why he was always over, because he never for a second believed, like, oh, I hope we get him tonight. He knew, you know,
and that's another part of this. If you go to the building, you know you've already got him before the match has even started, then that's so much pressure off, I can imagine.
Well, and it's like, again, I don't want to keep beating a dead horse, but it's kind of like the first match with Cody and I, you know, in Chicago, which was where this was. Chicago is just different. They're a different level. Like, Chicago wrestling fans have a reputation for a reason. Like, they are just so great. I mean, they're just, they go with it, and they're loud, and they're emotional, and they're like, there's an electricity to Chicago wrestling fans that's just, you know, that you don't get everywhere else, or you don't get as consistently.
With talking about Cody and the match that you guys had, we've seen Thunder Rosa back and forth with AEW. At the risk of setting the tailbones of wrestling journalists tingling tonight, any talks of kicking open a forbidden door, Nick? Have you thought about it?
You got that right. I can't answer this question without someone turning it into clickbait. And Nick Aldis shoots on Kenny Omega. Like,
Aiden, stand by, write the article.
I like Kenny. I got no fucking problem with Kenny. I like Kenny. I like Cody. I don't dislike any of them. You know what I mean? I can't answer the question without it getting turned into a thing, because wrestling websites and journalists have realized that the best way to get clicks is to present anything that presents a contrary opinion to AEW immediately elicits this, like, you know, this sort of vicious, like, response. So they go, great, if I can just take a kernel of what he said and somehow turn it into a thing that can make it look like he's taking a shot at AEW, like, I wish him nothing but the best. And, you know, I've always said the same thing. If the opportunity was right and it made sense for everyone involved, like All In did, then, yeah, of course I would do it. But it's like, I'm not going to do it just for the sake of, like, I'm not, like, they know where I am. You know, maybe it will, maybe it won't. I'm not, you know. Well, you're doing your own thing.
You're building with the NWA. You're creating your own
and it's the only way that I've been able to make it work, you know? Because if I was sitting there constantly, like, pining to sort of go work for AEW or try to sort of get up, I had a chance to go to work for AEW. Like, I decided to sort of make a go of this because I felt I enjoyed the challenge. Because I've got a strong fucking ego. Like, shoot me, I don't care. And I was like, whatever. Like, that's what I wanted to do. And it's, you know, everything's just, it's like being in the wrestling business is like being in a casino, right? You're like, you play the craps table for a little while and it's like, hey, this is paying out. Like, let's stay here, you know? And then if you feel like it's, you're starting to lose your heat, then you maybe decide to cash out and move on somewhere else. And hopefully you cash out before you lose all your chips. Like, and that's kind of the way I feel about it.
We're all about building NWA power on a Tuesday night. And we're watching Flair and Steamboat. The crowd are deeply into it at this point. And I know you've been reluctant to draw comparisons between the work that you've done and this legendary match of the Chi-Town Rumble. But is there somebody who you would say either now or down the road you'd like to be the Steamboat to your Flair?
Well, I think if I could have an NWA title match with anyone, be hard pressed to think of someone better than Randy Orton. I've always said that it would be, you know, and I realize that it's very unlikely, but you know, never say never. But I always had this vision in my head of like, what if I could have a match with Triple H at Starrcade? You know, like for the NWA title, like it's the one title he's never, for he's, you know, he's had the big gold and he's had the, you know, WWF, you know what I mean? And it's like little things like that where you just think, man, if all the pieces on the chessboard happen to be just in the right place, that would be a piece of business. But, you know, I'm not going to lose any sleep over it. You know, man, if I'm totally honest, this will raise the ire of some of the internet wrestling community, but you know, if I could work with anyone right now, it'd be Roman Reigns. Like, just for the, because it, when I look at it, you look at the Flair and Steamboat, but one of the reasons it works is the contrast of personalities, the contrast of presentation. And that's what leads me to think, you know, when I think of him, he's, you know, he's fantastic. But the thing that really gets me excited is like, man, he's so different to me. Like, and that's what gets me excited. Like, when I'll still work third party, you know, independent shows. And a lot of the time they'll reach out and they'll say, oh, you know, we've got the following people in mind, you know, as an opponent. And a lot of the time they'll say, oh, we thought this person because he's like a similar size and works a similar way. And also go, okay, well, where's the business in that then? Mm-hmm. Right? Like, I don't pick someone because they're, you know, because they're similar to me. Pick someone who I can tell the best story with. Like, the Steamboat and Flair works because they're so different yet so similar.
Like, and I think the big thing as well, it's obviously the in-ring style, they're both a class apart, but it was
look
all
at this interaction with Tommy Young. See, that right there is that's what set Flair apart. That's why, like, Flair, because his cardio was so legendary, that's where the cardio comes in. Because we're what, 25 minutes in or something, Flair's like, it's Flair's turn to shine, right? Like, this is your, you've got to make it count when it's your turn, you know, as a heel, like, or as a world champion, because you've got to have gas in the tank. So when it's your turn, you've got to, you know, when it's your turn to get your shit in, you've got to really make it good. And Flair, shut up. Sorry, a dog's come in here and making him, causing a ruckus. Trying to get herself over. But when Flair, like, look at the people. But see, Flair, he has enough wind where he can do all that and still take a moment to go jump up, go get in Tommy Young's face and get Tommy Young over and remind everybody Tommy Young's the best referee in the business, you know, and keep his, like, that's the energy that he has. The other thing I would say about this, especially to like any, you know, younger wrestlers who might watch this or, you know, give a shit what I have to say. If you notice this match, one of the reasons why I love this match and all their matches together is because it doesn't follow the typical wrestling match formula. It isn't like, opening spot, you know, blah, 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 shine for the baby face, blah, 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 you know, then settles it down, then heat for the heel, like, you know, hope spot, hope spot. They're working based on, like, what they need to do. Like, okay, the people are up here, the people are, you know, the people are at a 7 or an 8. Okay, we need to keep them about there for now. Right, now we need to bring them down to about a 5. You know, now we need to bring them to a 4. Okay, let's go outside because we got to get them back up again a little bit. We got to keep them. It's a movie. Like, you've got to sort of take them on a journey. You know, it's okay. We need them come up a little bit more. We're starting to lose. Like, he knows when he needs to be up, and he knows when Steamboat needs to be up. Flair was like, without question, changed the business. The biggest way he changed the business, in my opinion, was by how generous he was. Like, there was never a guy, a world champion. And Harley was pretty generous, but not to the level that Flair was. But he spent 70% of every match feeding the babyface, taking their moves, selling for them, you know, bagging off, like trying to counter and getting countered back again. Like, he was a machine at that, because he knew that that's what the people want. So subconsciously, that's how Flair became such an icon, because subconsciously people go, hey, I'm going to buy a ticket to see Ric Flair. I'm going to get to see Ric Flair, but I'm also going to get to see what I want, which is to see the babyface win, or I want to see the babyface beat his ass. And
that's
like
the dream,
so
as a heel,
subconsciously,
the
you
dream.
Know that when you buy a ticket to see Ric Flair, you get what you want.
The dream of a heel is to go, I'm paying money to watch people get my comeuppance.
Right.
Lovely ref bump there, by the way.
Brilliant.
Like, beautifully
so well done.
Subtle. You know,
yes.
Tommy Young didn't look like he walked
right
into that for a planned bit. Just looked like he got stuck in the way. Looked very much like,
right,
was that meant to happen?
Looked organic. And it was a believable thing to sell.
Yeah, because he would have
been... Because you can look at it and go, well, he sort of got landed on by two guys, you know, and Tommy Young's only 150 pounds or whatever. By the way, Tommy Young, what a sweetheart of a guy.
Yeah.
He came and did the referee's instructions for the Crockett Cup 2019 when I wrestled Marty for the title. And I mean, he came in and did the referee instruction, and it was just magic. Like, he's such a sweetheart. Beautiful.
What a finish. What a finish. Back and forth and round and round. And
one thing we haven't talked about in this, because we've been rambling about other stuff, is JR on the call too.
Yeah.
Just, this was JR, his absolute best.
Motivated, invested.
Oh my God.
Passioned.
So, like, you can tell that he loved the match. Like, when a good match like this goes right, it's everybody involved, right? I don't look at it as, you know, Flair and Steamboat did a great job. It was like Flair, Steamboat, Tommy Young, you know, Gary Michael Capetta, JR, like, you know, Hiro Matsuda, everybody. Like, everybody has to be in sync and on the same page and just absolutely nailing it.
And with the crowd here as well, like, the crowd is such a crucial part of this. And it seems like a sort of non-question, but with the environment that we're in now, this weird COVID where we're just coming on the other side of it, had this match been held in, say, a Thunderdome, how different do you think it would hit today?
I think it would still be good. You know, I think anyone would still appreciate the level of quality. But there's no denying that, to me, the only scenery I want at a wrestling show is a sea of people going bonkers. Like, I don't give a shit how much pyro is there, how many lights, or how many screens. Like, it's great if you have all that stuff. Like, what, you know, it's cool. Like, I see some of the WWE sets, and I'm just like, I'm blown away. I just go, man, it's just another level. Like, there's nothing else in sports, nothing else in entertainment, nothing else in any facet of presentation that can compare to, like, how ahead of the game they always stay on that stuff. But for me, the thing I need more than anything for it to feel genuinely special is just a shitload of people going bonkers. Like, that's what I want. That's what I got into this business for. Like, you know, I think whenever I sort of go back through my favorite sort of moments in my career, most of them are involved, you know, most of them are without, you know, for a good reason, are in like the big buildings that were full of people, like Manchester or Wembley or Chicago, you know, Nashville, like, because I was like, hey, especially the ones where it was like, they came to see me. You know, it's like, it's one thing, you know, when I think about like the promo, the first time I really nailed a really good promo, like for TNA and in Wembley and, you know, and, or like when I made my return in 2013 to Impact for in Manchester and got a huge reaction, like, and stuff like that. Or, you know, when I obviously the first time I walked out as the world champion for, you know, TNA when we came to do the UK tour after I won the title, like, those were huge. But you know, Chicago and Nashville and, you know, Charlotte for the Crockett, they hit different because I'm sort of like, I think a lot of these people came to see me, you know, and that's obviously what you get into the business to do. And if you have enough experience, like I did at the time, you start to then, you know, that's how you get guys that just keep climbing and elevating beyond everyone else. Because, you know, I've had that privilege, you know, a handful of times in my career, but you get a guy like Flair, he's experiencing that night after night after night. It's just energizing him more and more and more. So he's just getting better and better and better, because once you're over, or once you know that, okay, these people came to see me, now you get to sort of experiment with more stuff and try more stuff, which some of it works, some of it doesn't, but like, you can get away with more. And so while everyone else is still trying to, you know, solidify themselves, you're like shooting further and further ahead because you're going, hey, try to keep up. Like,
it's both a pride and a pressure.
Yeah. You have to really, like, I think you have to enjoy it. You have to sort of relish that pressure. Like, I think when I see it in Roman, like, he loves it. Like, you can tell he's sitting there going, fucking bring it. Like,
he's
jump
doing
on
his
the
best case. Work at the moment.
Yeah, man. Because he finally feels like, I'm the right guy. Like, yeah, you know that I'm the guy, right? And it's like, and he's going, yeah, he's saying to everybody else, hey, hold on the cape, see if you can hold on. You know, I love that. I dig it.
And we are watching you every Tuesday night as the guy in NWA, as the NWA World's Heavyweight Champion. What can we expect over the next couple of months on NWA Power, Nick?
Well, you'll see. I think anyone who's been paying attention to the NWA from the beginning, from the NWA Power, will see that, you know, will understand that Trevor Murdoch has had an absolute new lease on life. And I think for those of you, and there are many, many of you, for those of you who have been kind of making that statement, like sort of saying it, hey, he's perfect for this, and we might need to see him kind of level up. I think that's going to be that. Those people are going to be satisfied. I think you see Pope this season really sort of comes into his own, and sort of he's like, you know, he's making himself known, like going, hey, I'm the best talker in the business. Like, and you know, that I talked to Pat Kenny about this today because, you know, Pat works in the office, and we were talking about some stuff going forward for the next set of tapings and who we might want to go after to try to bring in and stuff like that. And he said, you know, that he goes, what's so great now is that anyone who comes in to work the tapings, the first thing Pat tells them is, you've got Aldis, you've got Pope, you've got Austin Idol, you know, you've got like these guys who can go out there and talk. Like, and if you see those guys go out and talk, and the first thing you think of is like, all right, fine, I want to go beat that promo. Like, I want to go and like, okay, I'm going to go out and cut a promo and be like, follow that. Then you've come to the right place. If you see that and sort of go, oh, I can't wait for them to see my match, you know, then you might not be in the right place because we are promo centric. Mm. Like, we've really tried to, and I think you'll see a lot of people there are a few guys who that you'll see on NWA Power this season who, you know, a lot of you will be familiar with from other places, and it might be easy to sort of go, oh, this guy, like, okay. But the only thing I would say to that is, you haven't seen him like this, like doing an interview and getting to do it their way. And like, a lot of people said that about me when we first started this stuff. They went, oh, really, Magnus? Like, oh, you know, like, whoop-de-doo, right? This is a little bit of a different story now, right? And like, dude, Pope is, he's on fire. Like, he's motivated. He's, you know, he's effortless, like, you know, money on the mic. And you'll see a lot more guys like that who you just sort of go, wow, I kind of forgot what a seasoned pro this guy was. And this is different. Like, there'll be a lot of segments where you go, man, I can't believe that came out of his mouth, because you're sort of like maybe used to seeing people presented in a certain way and not given the freedom to just be like, hey, here's a wrestling promo. No, like, I jokingly, but not really jokingly, I say it as a way, because it's the easiest way to identify the subgenre that we sort of do. Is like, I said, we're a wrestling show. Like, I know that, you know, certain people over the years have kind of used that word disparagingly. And like, oh, it's wrestling. But like, I've sort of taken it on, and I've said that, but you know, when Billy and I, or Billy and Pat, myself, or others have sort of had these sort of discussions about, you know, what the brand is and you know, what the messaging has to be and stuff, I always just go, it's, we're wrestling, right?
That says a lot without saying much.
Yes, because as soon as you hear it, you know what I'm saying. You know what I mean. It's like, it's cowboys and Indians, you know, it's. Not necessarily always like good guys and bad guys, but it's like it's conflict settled in the ring, and it's sort of everyone wants to be a champion of some sort, and if you're and everyone's trying to make money, like, Pat and I, we joked that we might do it next time. We put signs up backstage just say it ain't rocket science, right? Like, sometimes I think, you know, wrestling can get in its own way. And look, there will be times where our show does that too. There's no doubt. You know, there's always going to be times with booking and creative and all that sort of stuff where it's a bit like, what's happening? But I think overall, I think one of the reasons why the people that have given the NWA a chance sort of enjoyed NWA Power is because it's a bit more easy to digest. And it's not quite so, you're not sitting there going like, oh, just give me a burger and fries. You know, I don't need all this other shit all over it. Do you know what I mean?
You want it just simple, just simple,
kind of
basic,
yeah,
straight in front of you. Oh, not overly rustic. Complicated. Wrestling.
Yeah.
Wrestling.
Rustic wrestling.
Rustic wrestling on NWO yeah. Power. It's on Fight on Virgin Media here in the UK and around the world on the Fight app as well. Nick, I genuinely have been so excited to watch Shaitan Rumble with you. Like, this is like what a time to be alive.
I feel like I feel like we sort of did it a little bit of a disservice because I didn't comment on much about what was happening. But you know, it's kind of like
they all know what's happening. They're watching.
It speaks for itself.
Yeah, exactly. Where can people go to find out all about you? Plug anything that you want to plug, sir.
Well, you can follow me on Twitter at RealNickOldis, on Instagram at NickOldis. Look for the blue tick, verified son of a gun. And I would love it if any of you who are interested in improving your health and performance would check out legacysupps.com, LegacySupps.com. That's my company that I launched at the end of last year. We've done really, really well. We've had some great support from guys like Conan and Conrad with the podcast ads. And the feedback has been off the charts. I've got a sleep aid, which is next level. Like, sleep is such an important part of your health. It's not just if you're a body guy and you're, you know, interested in being in great shape or anything like that. Like, your sleep, the quality of your sleep will fundamentally change your life if it's something that needs work on. And one of my products, bestseller Recovery PM, is a blend of 9 different natural sleep aids and tranquilizers and the feedback for that has just been unreal. Like, people have just gone, oh my god, like, I haven't slept like that in years. Like, I woke up feeling totally like renewed and refreshed, and I have more energy. And you know, that we're very, very proud of that. And we've had some crazy good feedback for the test booster as well. Like, most guys after the age of about 25 to 30 start to see a drop in natural testosterone, and these products, Test X9 and T-Assist, are both completely natural, completely FDA approved, made in an FDA approved facility. And it's all natural herbal ingredients that will help naturally boost your testosterone. So it'll give you more energy, a bit more vigor, a bit more strength, and a bit more, you know, get up and go in the bedroom, boys. And, you know, I'm very, very proud of the line, and it's doing really, really well. So legacysupps.com, and you can use code ALDIS, ALDIS, and you can get 10% off everything.
Hey, that's what we want, 10% off. And as we say, improvement in the bedroom. Wink, wink, wink.
Hey, boom.
There's that as well.
If you're on the fence, please give NWA Power on Fight a chance. Go to fight.tv and you can subscribe to the NWA. It's just $4.99 a month. I know. Shock, horror.
Literally, look, it's ridiculous, right? Because not the price, the idea that that's an issue. Because you think about it. Think about it. You go get a nice posh coffee and you'd pay that quite easily. And for the price of a posh coffee, brilliant wrestling.
Well, and also the fact that, you know, I see a lot of, and look, don't get me wrong, I completely understand that you may think, okay, I don't have to pay for WWE or AEW, but you have to have cable or a satellite subscription or whatever to watch those. So you kind of do. Like, I understand that you chose to do that, but, and look, I wish that we were in a position where it just didn't matter and we could just give it all away for free and everyone could watch it. And, you know, but it's a tough road to hoe, you know, because we have to be sustainable. And we gave it away for free for as long as we could to try to really prove the concept and get people, you know, understanding, like, we're not messing around. We're trying to make a really good show for the type of people that want that type of wrestling. Like, here it is. And like I said, you could subscribe on Fight for $4.99 a month US. And not only do you get the current episodes, you also get all the previous seasons, and you get two of the previous pay-per-views. So you get Into the Fire and Hard Times, I believe. And maybe there might be a third one, I think you get two. But yeah, it's, you know, and hey, if you don't like it, like, unsubscribe, you know, we're cool with that. Like, but just, you know, give us a shot. Like you said, it's the price of a fancy coffee to get an hour a week of uninterrupted studio wrestling with some really great seasoned pros and some really great talkers, and less of the less of the things that maybe bug you about some of the other wrestling being offered.
Less than a posh coffee for all the nice wrestling. That's all you need to take away from it. Less than a posh coffee. Easy right. money.
Next time you go past Costa and you think, oh, I'm going to have that medium cappuccino.
No. Nope.
Just go, this one time I will pocket that money and instead I will get 4 weeks of NWA Power.
I'll go watch Nick Aldis stretch somebody and I'll watch Paro beat up a man. I'll
well, you might well. Let's not get crazy. You'll probably see me in a suit cutting a promo.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.